I'm very pleased to welcome back to View from the Roundhouse Professor Martin Drum from Notre Dame University, who always waxes lyrical on a Friday morning with me about politics. And my goodness, there's plenty to wax lyrical about locally, Martin. Premier Cook is now in office with his Deputy Premier, Rita Saffiotti. He's also the Treasurer. A whole lot of new ministerial responsibilities being shuffled around. And we even have a new minister, David Michael. And as we observed during the week in an article called Cook's Cabinet, Winners, Losers and the Frio Angle, if you're in Frio and you're interested in bridges and ports and the future of Fremantle development and cat buses and anything else, a number of these ministerial officers, new guys in place, are important. But what's your take on what's happened? Does it indicate anything significant?
Well, it's really interesting. So let's start at the top. So Roger Cook's kept state development, which is expected. I think he's really passionate about that side of things. And that will be his main portfolio. He's got a number of jobs and trade, number of economic portfolios around that. So I think he's going to be the front man for development of the state economy. And he'll probably take up Mark McGowan's role in getting off to China and India and other places to ensure WA, which has a fairly export-focused economy in many respects, gets looked after in that respect. So that all kind of makes sense. Then we have Rita Saffiotti, our Deputy Premier, who is still going to be Transport Minister, but also has Treasurer and Tourism, with an extraordinary workload. And I think the transport one kind of made sense because she's particularly passionate about Metronet, and she's driven a lot of that. She probably wants to see that through to the finish line. But the thing about tourism, while it's not a big portfolio in operationally, it takes up a lot of time because there's three portfolios in government that outsiders may not understand that take up a lot of ministers' time. One is tourism, one is small business, and one is multicultural affairs. Why is that? It's because every evening there's another event on, there's another tourism event on, or there is another small business event on, or there is another multicultural event on from a different community. So those three portfolios are the ones where you're up all night, getting invited out to everything. So you've got this person who's the treasurer, and the transport minister, and invited out every evening to another event.
But there's always a camera there, and wouldn't politicians love that?
I don't think it's good. I'm just thinking about Mark McGowan resigned out of exhaustion. So you just got to be mindful of everyone's workload. So I hope that the Premier's not sending her up to fail, because I think that she has been a very dynamic minister. So you wouldn't want burnout there.
What are some of the other?
There's a few other significant ones. So Corrective Services moves to Paul Papalia, and I think this is very much a good move. Now, Paul Papalia did a lot of work in opposition, again, not many people might know, on justice reinvestment that he's particularly passionate about. Justice reinvestment is where you invest money, more money, into the communities where offenders come from to try and build youth services and other aspects of community to try to stop people from that area going to jail. And you speak to a lot of criminologists, it has a lot of potential, and it's a much smarter way of doing things rather than just lock them up and throw away the key. So I think that he'd be passionate to change the emphasis there to something along those lines, and I could see that being really beneficial. And you can see the rhetoric from Roger Cook starting to change in this area already, around the need to look after the health and welfare of the people, as well as public safety. So watch for some changes in that area, Michael. Be interesting.
There's an incoming minister, David Michael, who will be the minister, or is now the minister responsible for ports, local government, road safety, and interestingly, the minister assisting the minister for transport and for watches of the new series of Utopia on ABC TV will smile to themselves when they hear there's a minister assisting a minister. it's been suggested, a little unkindly perhaps not, by the opposition, that Rita Saffiotti won't really have time to do transport. That's why she needs an assisting minister. What do we know about the new minister?
Well, David Michael is the logical guy to step into cabinet because he's been sitting in cabinet all this time, at least since the last election. He's been the cabinet secretary. And that's the guy that takes the notes and does a lot of the follow-up and supports the premier around ensuring stuff is implemented out of cabinet. So he'll be familiar with all those conversations already, and that would help him in stepping into that role. He's also got a reasonable amount of local government experience because he was on City of Stirling for many years before he went into state politics. I think he was deputy mayor as well. So he's got a bit of experience, and he has local government as the portfolio, his main portfolio probably. But Freo watchers will be really interested because he's Minister for Ports. So he'll come into all those conversations around planning. And he's, of course, assisting the Minister for Transport. So I'd expect him to be involved in a lot of those discussions around the future of the port and also the future of the traffic bridge.
I see we've got a new cabinet secretary to replace him and a new parliamentary secretary. Jessica Stoikowski comes in as new cabinet secretary, and Davina Derner comes in as the new parliamentary secretary. Are they positions that sort of line people up for ministerial appointment down the track, Martin?
Yes, in short. Jessica Stoikowski, sorry about the pronunciation, is in the metal workers. And so you've got someone from the right and someone from the metal workers faction going, you know, being promoted. And she would probably be next person in line for a ministerial portfolio. For all those reasons I just explained with David Michael, it does expose you to the inner workings of government. And she's cabinet secretary, and she's also parliamentary secretary to the premier. So she'll work very closely with Roger Corco, I'd expect, in her role. And Davina Daana, member for the Kimberley, Indigenous woman, I think that's an interesting step up for her, and it brings her much closer to the workings of government, having previously just been on the backbench. And I think that's probably a desire to bring in another regional MP into the frame.
Martin, one of the big questions, I suppose, for the folk out there who might be dyed-in-the-wool Labor, have never voted anything but Labor in their whole voting lives, is whether the taking of the reins by the new Premier and Deputy Premier subtly but surely takes Labor in Western Australia in a slightly different direction, ideologically, if you like, or in terms of practical program delivery than the McGowan government.
A little bit, yes. So Roger Cook has emphasised consistently stability and experience. You looked at his rhetoric, it was energy, experience and stability. Well, experience and stability speak to, I'm a continuation of Mark McGowan. And you'll get a bit of that because of Mark McGowan's popularity. So he wants to appeal to the public in that respect. But he's not Mark McGowan. He's a different character. He has a particular passion. We looked at this last week for Indigenous affairs. Expect him to drive into that space more. He comes from the left faction of the Labor Party. Mark McGowan was unaligned. So you'll get the gist. He's going to offer some similar rhetoric, especially initially, but I think he'll drive the party in slightly different direction in a couple of key areas.
It was interesting to hear the new Premier, Roger Cook, make some comments when asked in the media about the Banksia Hill issue really being taken off Bill Johnston and given to Paul Papalia, and whether or not Johnston simply had too much on his plate, as was a criticism in recent months. He said that he wanted Bill Johnston to focus on the new economy, the new energy transition. Does that tell us anything about what Roger Cook's focus will be?
Now, you're right, Michael. That's been another key message coming out of the new Premier, is that he wants a renewable energy economy. And you remember there was a late pivot where the emission reduction target was announced under McGowan and a number of environmental initiatives. But that hadn't been a feature of McGowan's tenure until then. And I think that that's something that Roger Cook is particularly interested in and will try and push. And so his argument is you take Bill Johnson out of corrective services and you say, I want you to focus in particular on that area. But remember, Michael, he's also the Minister for Mines. So how's that going to work? So he's the Minister for Mines. Well, maybe it helps you. Maybe you're the person to drive it. Maybe you're the person who convinces energy companies to change when you're the Minister for Mines and Petroleum. He's also got, in addition to energy, industrial relations. So all of these knotty public sector agreements like nurses and others, he's going to manage those as well. So he's still going to have his hands full.
He absolutely is. Are there any particular initiatives that you would expect between now and the next state election out of the Cook cabinet?
Well, just a couple of early things to look at. Like I said, a pivot in juvenile justice, some discussion around justice reinvestment in that area, a vocal advocate in Indigenous affairs, particularly with the Voice referendum coming up later this year. Expect Roger Cook to have a bit to say about that area as well. Yes, the focus on renewable energy, I think. And the final thing to round off on is that if he can't get a few achievements coming out in his first 6 to 12 months, then people will question the change. So he's got to get his skates on and get a few wins in a couple of key areas. So keep an eye on that.
In that regard, I'm wondering how the opposition parties, the Nationals and the Libs, not to mention the Greens more generally, although they only have one member in the whole of the parliament, would be reacting to all of this. Do you think it'd be a bit like in the old days when Nat Fyfe was at the top of his game and had to limp off at a critical stage in the last quarter? The opposition would rub their hands together with glee and think, we've now got it all nailed?
Look, it's definitely an opportunity for the opposition, no doubt about it. I mean, they were just crowded out before McGowan resigned. They had, I think, made a positive change to Libby Metem and the Liberal Party. I think she brings more energy into the opposition leader's role. She's not actually opposition leader. I'm correct myself. She's a Liberal Party leader. And obviously Shane loves the overall leader of the opposition. So I think that they've still got very few resources, though. They're still stretched really thinly across a lot of areas. I think they'll probably try and hone their attack on a couple of key things because they don't have the capacity to critique on everything. But it definitely makes their job in 25 a little bit easier.
And just thinking ahead, what do you expect of sort of the broader policy position of the two major opposition parties coming towards the next election? Labor's won government in New South Wales, but the earlier Liberal coalition government had actually become quite a green government. It provided inspiration for the renewable energy transition around the country. Is that something we'd expect from the state opposition parties?
It is really interesting. There is a divide between the federal opposition and the state Liberal and National parties. So in the federal case, they're very adamant, very opposed to the Voice referendum, and they're also sceptical about a lot of climate initiatives, renewable energy targets, etc. But at state level, I think there's more movement on those issues. And most state leaders, I think practically all of them, have come in out in favour of the Voice. So, it is quite different, the Liberal leaders in particular at state level versus federal level. Libby Metem's in favour of the Voice. So it is quite interesting. That doesn't mean that's a uniform position in the Liberal Party in Western Australia, by the way, but at least at leadership, that's the case.
Well, Martin, we draw a view from the Roundhouse for this week towards a close. We've mentioned the name McGowan, but I suppose it just goes to show you how quickly in life, politics included, once you're gone, you're gone. You've forgotten about before you know it. And I expect Mr. McGowan, we're very pleased about that.
Well, he said he wants to go back being an ordinary person, and I suspect that's exactly what will happen. And the caravan will move on and we're straight on to the next thing.
Martin, thank you for joining me again on View. Look forward to seeing what happens in the next week, and we'll eventually get back to national and international galactic politics. But in the meantime, have a great weekend.
Thanks, Michael. Really appreciate it. Good to talk.